Good morning. We are continuing to discuss the Gemara, which said that Daniel saw a vision. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi did not see the vision. Gemara says they are greater than he is, and he is greater than they are. They are greater than he is because they are prophets, and he's not a prophet, and he's greater than they are because he saw the vision and they didn't see the vision. And we saw that the Rambam understands that Daniel was not a prophet. The Rambam doesn't mention this Gemara, and we mentioned the Abarbanel's explanation of why the Rambam doesn't mention this Gemara. We'll mention it again a little later. Today, I want to go through the Abarbanel's viewpoint of whether Daniel was a prophet and how the Abarbanel categorizes different levels of prophecy, just like we did with the Rambam. This will be from the Abarbanel's Sefer Mayanei HaYeshua. As I mentioned once before, I think, Rav Abarbanel wrote a trilogy of Svarim on about matters having to do with Mashiach. Rav Abarbanel was one of the leaders of the generation of Jews that were expelled from Spain, and understanding their suffering and when Mashiach was going to come and what they could look forward to was something very much on their minds. And on the Abarbanel's mind in particular, he's one of the most comprehensive writers that we have about our understanding of Mashiach and related things. So one of those Svarim is called Mayanei HaYeshua. This is in Hamayan HaShlishi. It's divided into springs. Instead of chapters and sections, he calls them springs and dates. So this is the third spring, first and second dates. Some of the same things he says in his commentary on Chumash in Parshas Vayira, date of fruit. There's a pasuk that says that Bnei Yisrael traveled after Kriyas Yamsuf. They traveled and they came to a place that had 12 springs and 70 dates, date trees. First he quotes the Rambam, who, as we said, says that Daniel was not a prophet, and that according to the Rambam, anything in Nevi'im was said in prophecy, and anything Ksuvim was not said in prophecy. Level of prophecy, but only a lower level of Ruach HaKodesh. Abarbanel says, very strong language, my mind cannot tolerate such an opinion. How can one possibly think Daniel was not a prophet? Daniel, as we mentioned, Daniel sees a vision about the four kingdoms that will exile the Jewish people, Babel, Persia, Greece, and Rome. He sees the exile for thousands of years. He sees the time when it will end. He sees how many kings will rule in Rome and how many in Persia. He sees Alexander the Great and the fact that Alexander the Great is going to die young and his kingdom will be divided. He sees the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. All of this he's referring to Psukim at the last three chapters of Sefer Daniel. He sees Antiochus. He sees the war between the king of the south and the king of the north at the end of days, which since we haven't had the end of days yet, we don't know what that is. So we will talk in a future date about Gog and Magog, which when I was growing up, everybody thought would be a war between the United States and the Soviet Union, a nuclear war and destroy the world, and it looks like those days might have passed. But we'll see. Then he sees the eventual redemption and Tchias HaMesim and so on. He sees all of these things. How and no other prophet saw, or no, according to the Rambam, no prophet saw what Daniel saw. All these things. Some saw different parts of it, but how could you possibly think Daniel is not a prophet? Now, Rambam is not the only Rishon who says Daniel is not a prophet. For example, the Or Hashem, which is also Rav Chisdai Kreskas, also a Rishon, not as well known, but he was the student and teacher of some very well-known Rishonim. For whatever reason, history passed him by, made him a little bit of a footnote, even though his Rebbe and his students are people that we think of regularly. So that's his question on the Rambam, and he says, I just can't accept what the Rambam is saying. He says those who try to defend the Rambam by saying that Daniel's dream was in between Ruach HaKodesh And the Barbanel says that's not consistent with what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that Ruach HaKodesh is when you're awake and not a dream. He brings the Radak, another Rishon, well-known, very important commentator on Tanakh. The Radak, in his commentary on Tehillim, quotes the Rambam and puts in there that Ruach HaKodesh could also be in a dream, but no version of the Rambam that we have says that. The Barbanel says, with all due respect, that's not what the Rambam holds. So he says, it's very strange. Udad Zarmaod, very strange to say that Daniel could see such things in just a dream. We know dreams can be prophetic-like, but every dream, because I'll say, every dream has some nonsense in it. Like Yosef seeing his brothers and his mother and his father bowing down to him, but his mother was dead. So Rashi says, every dream has some nonsense. Which part of Daniel's dream was the nonsense? Seems like all of it is accepted as foretelling the future.
Yeah. Dreams are in Ruach HaKodesh, or in Ruach HaKodesh, or that Yaakov's dream. I thought he explains that Yaakov,
the Nevuah, the Nevuah, not Ruach HaKodesh. According to the Rambam, Ruach HaKodesh, Rambam defines Ruach HaKodesh as two things. The lower level is where a spirit of courage and bravery and superhuman strength comes over a person, and he does something extraordinary to save another person or people. And the second is where some superhuman wisdom comes over a person, and he is able to articulate things that a normal person couldn't articulate, like David HaMelech writing Tehillim, and Shlomo HaMelech writing Mishlei, and Koheles and Shir Shirim, and the Rambam says, and Daniel, like all the things that Daniel saw. And the Rambam says explicitly that Ruach HaKodesh is when a person's awake in full control of his faculties. So Yaakov's vision of the ladder, Rambam says, was Nevuah. Torah says he was asleep. Not Ruach HaKodesh. Not Ruach HaKodesh. Higher level. Furthermore, Barbanel says, Daniel and Yechezkel both saw divine visions in Bavel. They were both Kedoshim and Chachamim. Why in the world would we say Daniel was less than Yechezkel? In fact, Daniel's visions are far greater than Yechezkel's visions. And furthermore, he brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah, which says that Hashem will establish Nevi'im in Bavel, plural. We know one of them is Yechezkel. Who's the other one? If there are going to be at least two Nevi'im in Bavel, one's Yechezkel. Who's the other one? Must be Daniel. We don't know of anyone else. Furthermore, Daniel has lots of visions, and say for Daniel, only the first one is described as a dream. The others are not described in the pasuk as a dream. So why is that? It must be the first one was a dream and the others were not dreams. He says, the Haimet Yored Darko, truth will show its own way, that Daniel's visions were prophecy and everything about them shows they were prophecies and they were on a higher level and clearer than the prophecies of Yechezkel. So then, why are they in Ksuvim and not in Nevi'im? He explains the difference between Svarim of Nevi'im and Svarim of Ksuvim. We know that some people have books in both, like Shmuel HaNavi wrote Sefer Shmuel, which is in Nevi'im, and Sefer Rus, which is in Ksuvim. Yirmiyah wrote Sefer Yirmiyah, which is in Nevi'im, and Sefer Eicha, which is in Ksuvim. So he says there's a distinction between what was the level of the person was on when he saw the vision, and his later writing down the vision. In some cases, the writing itself was under the influence of Nevuah. Part of the Nevuah was, write this down. Whereas sometimes a person was on the level of Nevuah, he had a vision of Nevuah, and later he was divinely inspired through Ruach HaKodesh to write it down. Wasn't directly commanded to write it down, perhaps. Or he was on a different level. People on different times are on different levels. So he says Daniel wrote the Sefer with Ruach HaKodesh, but he describes visions that he saw with absolute Nevuah. He says all of that is, everything I've said until now is if I accept what the Rambam says about the definition of Ruach HaKodesh, which is just a spirit that causes you to do great things. Actually, I don't accept that. But according to the Rambam's understanding of what Ruach HaKodesh is, that's how I would explain the difference between Nevi and Mixuim. That is the end of Tamar Aleph, the first date, the first section. He then brings our Gemara. Well, he brings it from Megillah, where it also appears. And he says, why didn't the Rambam bring this Gemara as a proof that Daniel's not a Navi? Gemara says, Daniel's not a Navi. And he explains, we mentioned this last week, and it's similar to what Rashi says. When the Gemara says Daniel's not a Navi, it means Daniel was not sent as a Navi. Unlike other Nevi'im, Hashem told them, take this prophecy and go deliver it to the people. But a Navi could be a Navi who has private visions for his own. The Rambam says so. The Navi has visions to elevate himself or to tell him things that Hashem wants to tell him, not necessarily to go share it with others. And that's the kind of Navi Daniel was. He was not told, go repeat these visions to the Jewish people. When the Gemara says Daniel was not a Navi, that's all the Gemara means. So the Rambam couldn't have brought that as a proof, even though Gemara holds Daniel wasn't a Navi. If he had brought the Gemara as a proof, I would have simply said, how do you know that's what the Gemara means? Maybe the Gemara just means he wasn't sent as a Navi. And the word Navi comes from the root Niv Svatayim, the articulation of the lips. In other words, the Navi is called a Navi because he's a spokesman. Daniel was not sent as a spokesman. As he had his visions. This is the Barbanel. He had his visions, and later he wrote them down. But it wasn't part of the vision. Go tell this to the Jewish people. He says that we find other names for Nevi'im in Tanakh. A ro'eh, a seer, a chozeh, another word for seer. A ro'eh sees a mar'eh, and a chozeh sees a chazon, different kinds of visions. And those are Nevi'im who are not sent. Before Shmuel was Shmuel HaNavi, he's called in Sefer Shmuel the ro'eh, the one who sees. Before Hashem sent him with a mission, he was still a Navi. People would go to ask, where are my lost donkeys? They went to the Ro'eh. So he says, so now I will tell you, so what I said before about the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that was based on the Rambam's understanding of what Ruach HaKodesh is, that Nevuos that were, where the writing was part of the Nevuah itself, are Nevi'im, and Nevuos that were the writing was simply done after the fact in spirit of Ruach HaKodesh, they're in Ksuvim. Says, but I'm going to tell you an explanation, a difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim that nobody ever thought of before. The books of the Nevi'im and the books of the Ksuvim both contain prophecies. The difference between them is that those in the Nevi'im were the prophecies that were sent to be told to the people to rebuke them, or to teach them some lesson, and the ones in Ksuvim are Nevuos, they're prophecies just like the others, but they were not sent to be told to the people. That's the only difference. It has nothing to do with the level that the person was on when he had the prophecy. It's only a question of what was the purpose of the prophecy. He says that there are three levels of Nevuah. The first level is the level found in the Torah, which is the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is a Nevuah that where the flow of prophecy from heaven goes straight to the person's intellect. It's a purely intellectual experience, and it's perfectly clear, and it's like having a conversation. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu, only Moshe Rabbeinu was on that level. And that's the level on which the Torah was written. The second level is where the flow of Nevuah comes down to the Navi, and he doesn't get it at first. It's too deep, or he's not, certainly not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, or he's not quite prepared, and therefore it has to sort of, from his intellect, it sort of has to bounce to another power that a person has, which is called the Koach HaMedameh, roughly translated imagination. And it translates, because it goes to this lower power within a person, it translates into parables, visions, other things, which then he can, by combining his intellect and his imagination, he can translate those parables and visions into a message. On that level, the person cannot be awake, because since he's using all of his forces, to all of his powers to process this nevuah, it drains all of his other powers, and he has to be asleep. That is the second level.
From a long time ago, I vaguely recall a Gemara that said we essentially don't hold by dreams.
That's talking about my dreams and your dreams, regular people's dreams. We will talk about how do you know? How does an Avi know what kind of dream he's having? But for the most part, that's talking about me and you. We shouldn't take our dreams too seriously. The third level is where the nevuah, after passing through the person's intellect and his imagination, actually translates itself into a vision so realistic that he actually thinks there's something in front of him. As opposed to, you could dream and you know it didn't happen. That's nevuah. Sometimes it becomes so realistic, it's as if it's happening. He says that this is the level of the vision that Avram Avinu had. And as I mentioned the other day, the Rambam holds that there weren't three visitors who came to Avram. No one saw them except Avram. The Ravenel agrees, essentially, that there weren't. If you had been standing there, you would not have seen three visitors come to Avram. It was a vision that Avram had, so realistic that Avram felt himself get up and feed them. Similarly, Yaakov's fighting with the angel was the same kind of thing. The fires and smoke and so on that the Jews saw at Har Sinai. If a non-Jew had been standing there, New York Times had been standing there, it would not have seen it. The horses of fire that surrounded Eliyahu when Eliyahu disappeared from this world, okay, Eliyahu Navi, Elisha saw these horses of fire, they weren't there. There was a vision that Elisha saw. And Daniel's vision was on this level. And that's what the Gemara means when it says the people who were with Daniel didn't see it. They didn't see it because it wasn't there. Okay. Why say Daniel wasn't a Navi? It means Daniel wasn't sent as a Navi. Daniel was experiencing Nevuah. And Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi didn't see what Daniel saw because it wasn't there to see. That's why it says in the Pasuk that the fire in Har Sinai was La'enei B'nei Yisrael. It was in the eyes of B'nei Yisrael. There was no fire in Har Sinai. It was in the eyes of B'nei Yisrael. It was a mass Nevuah. They all experienced Nevuah. And when Hashem spoke to Moshe, it says Moshe heard the voice and no one else heard the voice. There was no voice to hear. It was something only Moshe could hear. So that is the third level. That's the level of Daniel. So what is Ruach HaKodesh, according to Barbanel? He says it's a flow of Nevuah, just less intense. It is something that comes to a person from heaven, just like Nevuah. We don't know exactly what Nevuah is, so we don't know exactly what Ruach HaKodesh is. It's some kind of flow of prophecy that comes to a person just on a lower level that doesn't, so we don't call it prophecy. So the bottom line is, there's no question, Daniel was a Navi, and he saw absolute Nevuos, some of them on the second level, and some of them on the third level. In other words, some were dreams, and some were while he wasn't sleeping at night, and he saw these very, very realistic visions. That's what the Abarbanel says. He also said, discusses this also in the beginning of Parshat Vayira. That is the Abarbanel's position about different levels of Nevuah and Daniel's standing, and strongly disagrees with the Rambam. As I mentioned, there's a Rishon, a Chistai Kreskas, is referred to on the title page of his Sefer Or Hashem as a Talmid of the Ran and a colleague of the Rivash and the Rebbe of the Nemuke Yosef and the Baal Haikarim. So if you are studying Gemara in depth, depending on what Masechet it is, you will study the Ran and or the Nemuke Yosef. If you're studying Jewish philosophy in depth, you will study the Ikarim. And if you're studying Halacha in depth, you will study the Rivash. These are the circles in which Rav Chistai Kreskas traveled. For whatever reason, history has made him less famous. But he was in that circle, and he wrote a sefer called Or Hashem. He has a section on the Nevuah, and he says regarding Daniel, he says very straightforwardly that our tradition is that Daniel was not a Navi. Presumably, when he says our tradition, he's referring to the Gemara. That straightforward interpretation of the Gemara is that Daniel was not a Navi. As we saw, there are other explanations, but that's simply what the Gemara says. He asks the question, Nevuah is in a dream. How does a Navi know that it's Nevuah and not just a dream like you and I would have? And he says that, generally speaking, based on the intensity of the experience, you know this is not just a regular dream. This is Nevuah. We haven't experienced it, so we can't define exactly how it is. He says sometimes Nevi'im made mistakes. One of the most famous false prophets in Tanakh is someone named Hananiah ben Azur. Hananiah ben Azur is mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyah. He lived in the same time period as Yirmiyah, right before the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, and at the time of the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. And Hananiah ben Azur would tell people, don't worry, everything will be fine. Yirmiyah is a doomsday prophet. He's going around, the world's coming to an end, at least the Beis Hamikdash is coming to an end, if you don't do tshuva. And Hananiah ben Azur, don't worry, everything will be fine. The Sukkim describe him as a Navi. He was a legitimate Navi. He was not somebody who was making stuff up to be a troublemaker. He was a Navi. But he got confused one day between a regular dream he had and a prophecy. And he started sharing these regular dreams that he had as prophecies when they weren't. So the Or Hashem says that it is possible for a Navi himself to be confused between a regular dream and a Nevuah, that a real Navi on a higher level would not make that mistake. Hananiah ben Azur made that mistake. You learn Sefer Yirmiyah, you'll see what Hananiah ben Azur is going around telling people. Yirmiyah's overreacting. Don't worry, everything will be fine. As I mentioned before, we don't learn Tanakh enough, so after you learn Sefer Daniel, or maybe before, Yirmiyah came before Daniel. He discusses another question, which is related to this, in a way, and that is, can Nevuos be retracted? Can a prophecy, can Hashem retract a prophecy? The general understanding is, this is, seems to be how the Rambam holds and others, is that a good nevuah, Hashem will never take back. A bad nevuah, Hashem will take back if we do tshuva. A good nevuah that a Navi has about himself, Hashem could also take back if a person sins. That's why Yaakov Avinu was afraid of Esav. Why Hashem told him, I'll be with you, I'll protect you. Why are you afraid? Because a good nevuah that's that the Navi is given to himself about himself, Hashem could take back. It's only a good nevuah that is sent to other people, Hashem could not take back. We saw that the Rambam says that a Navi is given a sign to prove he's a Navi. And generally speaking, that sign will simply be a prophecy that will come true, so people will see he's a prophet. It's not that the sign has to be turning water into blood or turning a staff into a serpent. It could just be a sign that I had a prophecy, it came true, you saw it came true, now you know I'm a prophet. Or Hashem has a number of difficulties with this approach and has a very novel approach to this problem of can nevuahs be retracted? And if so, then how can you ever know if somebody's really a Navi or not? Because he'll say, oh, well, the reason my Nevuah didn't come true is because Hashem took it back, but I'm still a prophet. So there's two kinds of Nevuahs. When Hashem first sends a Navi, and the Navi has to prove himself, Hashem will give him a prophecy and won't retract it. If Hashem would tell you tomorrow morning, Akiva, go be a Navi, and you're going to say, oh yeah, you know, Shlomo, Yitzi, and Brent, they're going to believe me. Hashem will give you a sign, and he guarantees he won't retract that Nevuah, that first Nevuah. After your first Nevuah, after you've been established as a Navi, maybe it takes more than once, maybe it takes a few times, but after you've been established as a Navi, any Nevuah that Hashem gives you, good or bad, Hashem could change his mind. And we're not going to question whether you're a bona fide Navi or not, because you've already proven yourself. That is not the mainstream understanding of when a Nevuah can be retracted or not. So it's a novel understanding of Chistai Kreskas in Or Hashem. Why did Yaakov work so hard? He sent gifts to Esav, he davened, he prepared for war. Why did Yaakov do that if Hashem told him, I'll take care of you? He doesn't tell this story, but it could be illustrated by this story. I'm sure you've heard it before in some version. Guy is in his house, and the police come by. They say, there's going to be a flood. Get out. The person says, I have faith. I have bitachon. The flood waters come. He goes up to the second story of his house. A boat comes by. Come, we'll rescue you. I have bitachon. Not going. Waters rise. He's up on the roof of his house. Boats. Another boat comes by. We're the last boat. Get in. I have bitachon. Waters rise. He's standing on his chimney. And a helicopter comes by. And they throw down a ladder and they say, come with us, please. This is your last chance. I have bitachon. Waters rise. He drowns. Comes up to heaven. God, I had bitachon. God says, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. In other words, having bitachon doesn't mean not doing anything. It just means knowing, understanding it comes from God. Well, bitachon is a complicated subject. That's not our subject for today. But the point here is, Rav Chistai Kreskas says, Hashem told Yaakov, I will be with you and I will protect you. He didn't tell Yaakov how Yaakov would be saved. So Yaakov had to daven, and Yaakov had to send bribes to Esav, and Yaakov had to prepare for war. All he knew was that something will succeed. But he didn't know what the something was. Just because Hashem tells you, I'll take care of you, doesn't mean you sit back and put your feet up. Unless Hashem tells you, sit back and put your feet up. You've got to do something. And so Yaakov did. That's his, again, that's not the understanding of the better known Mefarshim, but he's also a Rishon, traveling good circles, and that's his understanding of why Yaakov acted the way Yaakov acted.
He doesn't say that Yaakov was worried that he lost his marriage because he was away or whatever.
The Gemara says that about a specific phrase that Yaakov said. Gemara doesn't say that to justify everything Yaakov did. When it says Yaakov was afraid, Gemara says, because maybe he had sinned. But that doesn't explain why he did three different things to save himself. He's explaining why he did three different things to save himself. Because Hashem just told him, I'll be with you, and didn't tell him how I'll be with you. He does not mention that Gemara, I don't think. I don't see that.
So, for example, had sinned, then he wouldn't have been saved without war.
He might have thought that. I mean, right. He might have thought that.
Right.
Correct. It's not inconsistent with the Gemara. So those are just some of the points from the Or Hashem in his section about Nevuah. A little different than some of the things you've heard before, which is good because that's what I like to do. Have a good day.